It's good to see you here today. Glad you're here. You received a card that is in your bulletin. We'd like to get your prayer request today. If you have something you want to share with one of the pastors, we pray over those cards every Monday morning when we get together. So make sure you write it down at the end. We'll collect them in the baskets in the front and the back. It's good to see the brand new grandparents again here. Yes, sir. Blake Sexton was born this week. 8 pounds, 13 ounces, 20 inches long. Had a little breathing problem. He's over at Memorial, but took the oxygen off of him today, and just better news every day. So we just praise the Lord for his arrival, and praying for his mom and dad and his brother. And Travis got a job this week. Praise the Lord. That's always good news. Today is going to be the Martins' last Sunday with us because Sam got a job up in Virginia, and we praise the Lord on the one hand and we're crying on the other hand. We're going to pray you guys out today at the end. That's one of our things. We want to pray over you. What a week it has been. A lot of things going on in people's lives. What anointed worship this morning. I mean, just enough to make you laugh hilariously. That's a biblical word, that hilarity. And on the other hand, to weep before the Lord all at the same time. And it's so good to see you today. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Somebody asked me one time, what version? Well, when you see me with this black, kind of slender, large print Bible, this is my New American Standard, which is my favorite translation. I most often use the New American Standard, but you know, the best translation is the one that you'll read and that you'll use in your life. But we use the NIV frequently, the New Living frequently. If you're our guest here today, we're glad you're here. If this feels a little like a family reunion, that's exactly what it is, because it's the gathering of the body in a large group. And just think what it's going to be like when we get to glory, as God gathers His people together forever. It's wonderful. You keep short accounts, you know. It's like you may not have seen someone in a long time, but then you see them and bam, you go right back together. That's family. That's family. That's what He has designed and desired for us as His body. Today, the title of today's message is The Lord Fights for You. Anybody here ever battle with the Lord? Anybody? I've got my hand up. You ever argue with Him? You ever wrestle with Him over anything? You know, you ever ask Him why? Oh yes, those why questions. They can be dangerous. There's a lot of them that are still unanswered for me. Well, today's story is about a guy whose name was Heel Snatcher. How about that? How would you like it if someone named you Heel Snatcher? So you come, oh, there's old Heel Snatcher over there. Not exactly like a Hebrew Bubba, but I wonder what that would be like. I need to ask some of my friends in Israel what the Hebrew for Bubba is. I love it. The Mick Visreal, one of the synagogues here in town, they've got a T-shirt. I've got to get me one to go with my Jerry's kids T-shirt, but it's got Shalom, y'all, on it. Kind of mixing your metaphors, but it works. It works. This guy, his name is Jacob. He's a twin. His twin brother was Esau. And from the very beginning, you knew something was different about this guy. When they were born, they were even kind of battling in the womb. Esau comes out first. Of course, he's the elder. And a lot of perks for the elder son in that culture. But as Esau is being born, you know, as his heel is coming out, who's got his hand around his heel? The heel snatcher. That's what Jacob means. It means heel snatcher. And oh boy, he was a trickster. I don't have time to go into all the details of his life. But for some of you that maybe have not read the Bible as much as others, just a little thumbnail sketch of his life. Esau was kind of a burly kind of woodsman kind of guy, liked to be outside. Jacob, heel snatcher, was a mama's boy. He liked to stay inside. But he was very smart. In fact, he lived by his wits often. He tricked his brother, his twin brother, into giving him his birthright. His brother traded off his birthright for a meal. In fact, eventually he has to leave home. And Mama helped him leave. Rebecca helped him go. And he heads up to Haran, up north, up on the top of the Fertile Crescent, as you leave Israel and you go on up top. That's where Rebekah's family was from. So he goes up there. On the way up there, that's where he has that dream, that experience where angels are ascending and descending back and forth. He has an experience with the Lord. Where he goes on up and he gets to meet Laban, who will eventually be his father-in-law twice. He starts working for a woman that he wants to be his wife, the beautiful Rachel. Oh, man. Rachel must have been an absolute knockout. I mean, and he works 7 years for her. But when they get to the ceremony and he lifts the veil, uh-oh, I've not married Rachel. I've married her older sister, Leah. You know, Laban wanted to get her married off first. But Laban, oh man, Laban was his father-in-law was a hard taskmaster. And he was trickster and deceiver on steroids. And here's the heel snatcher who had lived by his wits getting outwitted by old Laban. So he has to work another 7 years. And he's working the herds. So he works another 7 years. Now 14 years we're into it. And he's able to marry Rachel. Well, then he starts to think, well, you know, I don't need to stay here. I need to eventually go back home. But there are some things waiting on him back home. Now, I've had that. I've got a relative in my family that there's certain counties that he can't go back to. Do you have anybody like that in your family? No. So, He's trying to make this deal with Laban so he can have his own flocks. And it was a big story. You need to read all that. Hey, does this thing. He strips bark off of trees and he agrees that he'll just get the spotted ones and the ones with stripes. No, you can read all about that. It was a neat story. But he's doing something in a superstitious way. What he doesn't realize is that God is blessing. God is the one that's behind what he's doing. And God's just multiplying his flocks for him. But then he leaves. He doesn't tell his father-in-law that he's going anywhere. So here he is. He's left up there in the area of Haran up north. He's headed back south. And what's waiting him on him in the south? We're now 20 years into it when he leaves. There's a seven, and then there's a six. And I won't charge anything extra for this. But you can see, he gets to seven completion, he gets one wife. Another seven, he gets another wife. And then the six, it's not completed yet until it's seven, because the way God was going to bless him financially and physically was not going to be complete until he got back home. So he had had that seventh year, that completion of, he got his start up in Haran with the flocks of Laban. But that's going to be completed when he gets down there. And oh, does God bless him. By this time, he's got all these children, all these sons, end up being the heads of the tribes of Israel. That's where they come from. They are Jacob's sons. So he's between two countries, if you will. He's got bad news behind him. Laban, you know, when Laban finds out he's gone. And by the way, on the way out, Rachel takes all of the household gods with her. These that were valuable to Laban. We don't have any indication that Laban had completely trusted Yahweh at that point. And by this time, you know, Jacob, he is just a novice at understanding the ways of God. So Laban is after him. He comes after him. Esau is waiting on him down in the promised land. You got the picture now? And Laban catches up with him. He eventually gets a blessing out of Laban. And God supernaturally hides the stuff that Rachel stole. In fact, she's sitting on it. She's sitting on him and she plays the female card. You can read about that later on. I'm not going to, we're in a mixed company here, but you can read that later. That'll pique your curiosity. You can look it up and see how your particular translator, it was her time of the month. And that's what she said. And so she doesn't move. So, he's realizing he's going to have to face his twin brother. Well, his twin brother's got a force of 400 men. So he sends out a representative. He's going to pay him off because, you know, he's living by his wit. I'll send gifts to him ahead. So that's where we find the story. He has come to the Jabbok River, which is a dividing river. It's one of the tributaries there. And it's a dividing river between what was to the north and south. When he sets his foot across the river, he's officially going to be in territory that is under the control of his twin brother. So he's waiting on the other side, and he sends his wives and children across the river and all of his stuff, and here he is alone by himself. Verse 24. Are you with me now? And Jacob was left alone. And the man wrestled with him until daybreak. I wonder who that man was. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he, this man, touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Later on, you'll see that's why that's a part, that sinew, that connective tissue there, that the Jews will not, to this day, will not eat that part of the animal. And then he said, verse 26, and then he said, "Let me go." This is the man he's wrestling with. "Let me go, for dawn is breaking." But Jacob, the heel snatcher, says, "I'll not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What's your name?" This man that's wrestling with him. And Jacob says, "My name is Jacob." "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel." And what does Israel mean? The Lord contends. The Lord contends. The Lord wrestles. Now I want you to see in this, there are five different sermons in this. You can see the parallelism of Jacob's life. And this is not law, of his life with the people of Israel. Because they would become a people who would be contending for a long time, who would be wrestling, but who served a God, Yahweh, who would contend for them. And we're seeing that acted out right now before our very eyes as God contends. There is no reason in God's green earth that that little postage stamp of a nation ought to exist today and be able to wield the power and authority that they do in world politics today, except for the fact that it is a miraculous action of God. Because when God says it, it is so. Just like He spoke this world into existence. He spoke this word into existence. He speaks it. And it is so because He's God. "Your name shall no longer be heel snatcher, but the Lord contends, Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Here He is working out that calling, if you will, on His life. That He's striving with God, striving with man. And Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." He said, "Why is it that you ask me my name?" And he blessed him there. Now, I want you to see it at the beginning. This part of the name is real, real important. He would come to know him in that personal way with God's personal covenant name, which is Yahweh. He has begun that experience. And so, Jacob named the place Peniel, which means face of God. He said, "I have seen God's face, and yet my life has been preserved." What they believed in their culture was, you saw God, you died. Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over Penuel, and he was limping on his thigh, then touched by this one he was wrestling with. Therefore, this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of the hip. Now, let me point out a few things in this passage. I hope one thing this is going to do is it's going to make you go back to the Word and say, man, I want to read all the rest of this story for myself and see it. But quickly, let me make a few points. I want you to first see God got Jacob alone. And if you back up to first couple of verses of chapter 32, you'll see that when Jacob is on the way down there now, he had gone up to Haran, now he's on his way back down. The Scripture says, when he went on his way, the angels of God met him, and Jacob said when he saw them, this is God's camp. So he named the place Manahan. Now, so I want you to see, God is revealing His presence with His messengers, these angels on the way up as He's going there, and on the way down as He's coming back, as He's preparing Him. He gets Him alone. Everything else has gone across the river, and there He is. He separated Him from His stuff and all that. It's like God wanted him absolutely alone, not thinking about anything else. And then the Lord comes and he wrestles with him. Here's a man who had lived by his wits. We have no record of him fighting before. He had never waged a battle that we know of. But God forces him to fight. He forces him into this wrestling match because this person that he's actually wrestling with is God Himself. And how many of you, how many of us have wrestled with God over issues, over situations, over relationships in our lives? It was with God that he must wrestle. And we see even in that, there's a play on words here. Let me pronounce these for you. The verb, he wrestled, God wrestled, is the verb Yahabeg. His name is, Jacob is Yahakab. And the river that he crossed was the Jabbok. And it's, I mean, you know, Jews in the Hebrew, they love these plays on words. So, because they're tools by which you can remember. You can remember the key thing. Here he is. Jacob is crossing the Jabbok River and he's wrestling with God. You see, you get the key parts of the story here by this play on words. God comes to him as a man. Does that strike a familiar note of anything that prophetically was going to happen in the future? How would God come to us? And the Word was made flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. What a parallel. He wrestles with him. And I know some of you are going to stumble on the fact and saying, well, you mean God couldn't whip him? They wrestled all night? You missed the point! He wasn't wrestling with him to notch one up and win it. He was wrestling with him for this man to change his mind and his heart. That's what it was about. And for some of you who are here today and you're thinking, oh, God, is these things have come to me from God and He just wants to punish me. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what it's ever been about. It's always been about His love and a relationship. Like my daddy told me when I was a little kid, I'm not spanking you to punish you. I'm spanking you so you will listen to me. He touches him supernaturally. There in the hip. And he leaves him with a mark. A limp. You see, when God touches you, you're changed. And there's something in the physical that shows what has happened in the spiritual realm. You look for clues. Listen to me now. You look for clues in the physical to see what might be happening in the spiritual. And here it is. He's been touched by God. And he will never be the same man again. God renames him. Look at all the prophetic things associated with him being renamed Israel. Israel, God contends. And I want you to know that just as surely as He named him that, it is a prophecy over us who are part of His lineage. I want you to know today, God contends for you. Where you are and what you're doing, let Him do it. Don't fight with Him. Don't wrestle with Him to remove Him. Wrestle with Him to come in deep intimacy with Him. Let that be the result. You see, God wanted a personal relationship with Jacob. That's what He was always about. That's what it was about from the beginning. And he couldn't see it. He couldn't see it. See, it would be years later before he could look back and actually think, saying, God, yeah, you were working through Laban. You were working through my mama. You were working through my brother, my daddy. You were working through the circumstances. You were working through all those things. It was you, God, that made those, when those flocks reproduced, it wasn't because I put those stripes out there that some magical happened. It was because you supernaturally came and you let them multiply into stripes and to speckled that I would own. I want you to know, and some of you are struggling financially who are here today. I want you to know it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. That's the root of it. God wants to speak. God wants to work. God wants to move. And He gave him this reminder. A few applications for you. Let God get you alone. Sometime you have to come away from all your stuff. And get quiet before God. Let Him speak. In fact, God will use your stuff and the people in your life to speak to you. Jacob had lived his life in self-sufficiency. I want you to know today that self-sufficiency is incompatible with the work of God in your life. It is. What did Luther say? What does the Word of God say? The just shall live by faith. It's a faith adventure. And Jacob was finding that out. God also wants you to understand that you've got to fight. You're in a battle. This is not some mamby-pamby, I can be on the sidelines and think my way through it and live by my wits. You know, like the old redneck said, you know, how'd that work out for you? Not too good. We're in a battle. You're in a battle where you live. It's time to engage the battle and fight with the armor of God upon you and with His resources. There's a spiritual nature to all that you do. All the stuff that's happening to you that's in your life, don't miss what God is trying to speak through those circumstances. What is He screaming at you through the circumstances of your life right now? God wants to build your faith. What is He using right now? As He wants your faith built and this personal relationship. And Jacob limped. You see, God just doesn't save us and then leave us alone. When you come to Him, you begin that personal relationship as He then, through His sanctification, that's the fancy theological, you know, a 50-cent word, sanctification. It means being made holy. He begins that work of grace in you as He fashions you into the image of Christ. And you will never be the same. Never. It's a work of grace. And work of love. I've quoted this to you before. When my oldest son Brandon, he was 25 years old, he was extolling to me the virtues of being 25 and what he could do at 25 that his daddy at 50 could not do. And then he said, "Face it, Dad, you'd like to be 25 again." I said, "No, I wouldn't, son." He said, "Why not?" "I don't want to be that stupid again." And that's the truth. I don't. At 25, I thought I was 10 feet tall and bulletproof. This life has shown me that God can cut me down to size anytime He gets ready. It is only by His grace that I have anything, that I can do anything, that I was born to the parents I was born to, that I got to be born in this country. What a blessing. All by the grace of God. The Lord will contend for you. That isn't a blessing just for Israel. That is a blessing for all those who are adopted into the family. Thanks be to God for God's adoption policy by faith. Do you get me? It's
sweetheart. Let's pray.
Lord, I thank you for your presence here. Lord, as soon as Gary hit the first note on that keyboard, you put a tingling in my soul that can only be one thing, and that is, God is here. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, I want to pray for our body here who have great needs. Some who need encouragement and need to know today, Lord, that you are contending for them. Lord, I pray for needs. I pray for physical needs, financial needs, healing needs, deliverance needs. And the need of salvation. Lord, if there's anyone here who's never received you in their lives, pray today will be the day of salvation for them. They'll come to you. Lord, I'm asking you to do that great work. Lord, I'm praying for us to embrace the work of God in our life. Lord, we've been wrestling. We've been struggling against you. And we're flipping it today. And we're saying, Lord, we're not going to let go of you until you bless us. Until you come with your power and your presence and do your work. Your presence is a tremendous blessing. Come, Lord. Come now as we lay ourselves before you and say how much we need you, God. You are Lord of heaven and earth. Come now. Come now. The altar's open. Pastors, life group leaders ask you to take your places. You can come and pray. This is your time.
Thank you.
We're about to pray for this family that we love very much. As I told you, y'all probably heard, I forgot to turn my mic off. I'm going to pray a boomerang prayer for them today. God, take them up to Virginia, bless them, and then bring them back here with an even greater blessing. So if you'd like to come and lay hands on the Martin, Sam, tell them what you're about. Y'all about to do?
Going to Chesapeake, Virginia, and starting a new job. You know, I have to say my wife has so wisely put it with her loving heart and giving kindness that, you know, you all, what is it? If you say go, we shall go. And so we're going.
What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, we're apostolic with a little A. We believe in sending out. Sending out. So we're gonna, in fact, we've got a couple in here today who are boomeranged back. And we praise the Lord for that. So as we pray this sending out prayer, Sam, Jerry, Chloe, we anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And right now, Lord, as we send them out in your name and in your power, Lord, we thank you for providing this job, for your provision. You are Yahweh Yireh, the God who provides for his people. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your rich provision. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, you'll go before them, that you'll work it all out, that they'll be able to find a local body of believers there. Lord, lead them where you want them to be. And Lord, our desire is that you bless them a bunch and bring them back home here. God, may what they touch, may even what they see receive the blessing of God, that you'll share the gospel through their lives, the good news of Jesus, that even in the move and in everything that they do, you'll go before them and your anointing will be upon their lives. Lord, protect them and use them. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well, God bless you. As you go, we send you out in the name of Jesus.